I wish you would please pray for me in this task and service. Scripture said to be instant in season and out of season. Today I feel a little bit out of season because I got a broken tooth. Kind of a handicap. Had a pretty full week last week. Imagine you did too. Worked on a job, some fellas. Worked on an airplane for a while. And was in a situation where I almost had to go with them where they went and do what they did because we were working long hours. Came time to stop for an evening meal and they wanted to go to a restaurant. To me, a restaurant's just a restaurant. Didn't think about what they were thinking about. And got to the place and we sat outside, kind of a little awning over us. A couple of guys there playing guitars. Now, I wouldn't really say they rattled the windows in the houses next door, but it was a lot louder than I like to hear any kind of music played. And they sang a song. The guys were talking about how beautiful it was. And they sang about purple rain. Now, I never heard that song before, and I don't know why in the world anybody would think a song about purple rain was beautiful. Now, listen to the things they were talking about. Of course, I had to. It's easy for them to start talking about things that are off color. I understand working men go through this all the time. All the time. That's the way the workaday world is. Start talking about things that are off color, and every once in a while use some bad language. Later on that day, or the next day, I'm sorry, man working on the front of the airplane while I was working on the back had all the luggage racks that are on the sides of the airplane dropped down because they were working on the top of it. And he raised up under one of those and cut a gash in the top of his head. And I put my hand over my mouth so I wouldn't laugh at him. It's a good thing I did because he turned the air blue with the phrases he was using. I've heard some curse languages in my life, but that was a little over the top. Mechanics all over the hangar, and all of them have toolboxes, of course, and all their toolboxes have got signs on them. Harley Davidson, Bud Light, beer. And when they got ready to turn on the radio and start playing music, and it was nothing that I wanted to hear. I don't know how people listen to that all day long. It looked like it'd give you a headache. So loud and noisy. Thought about coming home. I was on the airplane flying back, and the Lord started talking to me about heaven and what that's like over there. And it's like get back home and get to be with the saints again. It's an oasis. It's a haven. I feel like a stranger in a foreign land when I go out in the world. I'm polite to them, and what else can you do? I don't want to pick a quarrel with anybody. And they talk about drinking beer and going to the parties and things, and I listen to them. But it's not my world, you know. I feel like I did when I was in India. And folks over there talk about worshiping snakes and things like that. And I think, my, that's interesting, but I don't insult them. But it's not my world. It's not my world. Here's my world. Peaceful place. I haven't heard any bad language since I came into chapel. And nobody said anything, try to make me uncomfortable. Don't feel competitive. Just feel at home. This is our world. We got a little oasis. We got a little shelter in the desert. It's all around us. And I'm so thankful for the privilege to worship God with His people. Such a blessing, such a blessing. That seems like such a vast wasteland of emptiness out there. Thank God for salvation. And it's... lead into a little thought that I have this morning. From the Song of Solomon, I propose to speak by the Lord's help on the love of God. I know the things that I've mentioned to you are just a very little bit of what's going on in this old dark sinful world. Folks are in professional company, business company. They hide a lot of what their real shameful acts are, and I know that. But it's still so foreign, so different from the way we have chosen and the things the Lord has given us. Song of Solomon is a... Folks have always had a question about it, whether Song of Solomon is talking about Jesus and his church or whether it's talking about Solomon himself and his girlfriend or his wife. And I think it may have some application both ways, but Solomon's been gone a long time, and I'm interested in it mostly as it pertains to the church and to my soul. It begins by saying the Song of Songs, which is Solomon's. The Song of Songs, well, I can say it this way. Words are how we express ourselves to one another. Life would be so, we'd be so isolated if we couldn't talk. It's so important to be able, that's how we get information. But there is a higher form of communicating than just words. When somebody takes the trouble to make their words rhyme and put them in poetry, it takes more effort and it's also more beautiful. But the highest expression is when we put melody with the poetry, because it expresses not only the meaning of the words, but it carries the passion of a heart. Music is powerful. Music can comfort you when you're sad. I think of one of our songs that I never think of the words without hearing the melody play in my mind. When my soul is oppressed with the sorrows of life and the thought of the morrow alarms, it's a comfort there to know the Lord is near, the song says, and the melody breathes in our hearts when we are in that place. And there's also joy in music. Song can be uplifting. Salvation's free. Glad joy to all. The song says, it lifts us up. It's encouraging. Or you could say this way, our life is a song. All of our lives are a song. Some people's lives play a song of disappointment. Some play a song of sorrow. Some play shameful songs. But the Song of Songs is the Lord's song. It's when all of our spirit is in tune with God, with heaven, with a plan and purpose that He made for us. It's a beautiful melody. The angels sing the Song of Songs. And then He said the Song of Songs, which is Solomon's song, which is a way of saying at that point in his life, Solomon had the testimony, I know my life is a song, but it is the Song of Songs. I've chosen God's way. It's me. Some people sing a song of shame. Some people, by their lives I mean, they sing a song of loneliness. Some people sing a song of disappointment. But he said the Song of Songs is Solomon's. It means I have chosen. It means God planned a song of my life before I came into this world. And I am singing it now with him. It's more than words. It's more than poetry. It's expression of my spirit in harmony with the whole creation and all that God intended me to be. That's a powerful statement, isn't it? The Song of Songs, which is Solomon's. But I'd like to read a passage of Scripture from the 8th chapter of Song of Solomon's this morning. Turn over there with me, if you would, in the 7th verse. I just picked this out from the context of the Scripture. Maybe we won't do any injustice to it. The passage says, set me as a seal upon thine heart, as a seal upon thine arm. For love is strong as death. Jealousy is cruel as the grave. The coals thereof are coals of fire, which hath a most vehement flame. Many waters cannot quench love, neither can the floods drown it. If a man would give all the substance of his house for love, he would utterly be contemned. Set me as a seal upon thine heart. We are here, I hope you are here, because we want to sing the Song of Songs, which is Solomon's. Concerning that song, the wise man said, set me as a seal upon thine heart. Seal is translated from the Chaldee word kothom. Kothom. It means a signature ring. It means a seal, a signet. The Ethiopian eunuch would probably have worn a ring on his finger that had engraving in it. He was authorized to make transaction for the queen, who was his master. And then when the transaction was made and the document was sealed, he would take that ring and press it in the hot wax that was used to hold the letter shut. Seal the letter with wax and put a little patch of wax, a droplet of wax, on the flap of it. And he'd put his signet ring in that. That means it carries the queen's seal. It means nobody's allowed to open that unless it's you're authorized to do it. It's special. I mean, it's just wax, but the weight of the queen's authority lay behind that. That's a seal like it's talking about here, a signature ring or a seal or a signet. And the phrase comes from another Chaldee term, kothom, which means to close up, especially to seal. Make an end, mark, or seal, or stop. Set me as a seal upon thine heart. That means I've given my heart to you. And I want it sealed. There's nothing else that can come in here. This is just between you and me. Brother John Varghese told me about a minister over in India who had become was being effective, apparently, in spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the folks wanted to stop him, so they set him up in a trap. He was going to stay in a room one night, and when he got there, opened the door, and there was a beautiful young woman there, invited him to come in. He said, I'm sorry, ma'am. He said, you're very attractive, but he said, I have but one heart, and I've already given it to the Lord Jesus Christ. And he shut the door and went on his way. That's what this is talking about. It's a seal. It's a bond. Now, the seal begins for the Christian between you and God, between me and God. Set me as a seal upon thine heart. And I wonder when I read this, is this Jesus talking to us, or is us talking to Jesus? And to think about it, I think it's both ways. It's both ways. I say that to the Lord. Set me as a seal. I want this tied between you and me. And I want him to say that to me too. This bond can be broken, just like that wax seal can be broken, but it's not my will that it should be. So I don't do it. Somebody said, there's a scripture that speaks about, in John, his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because his seed is in him. And the proper meaning of that, I mean, is explained this way. It doesn't mean that a person who's saved and sanctified can't sin. It's impossible if you want to. It's like if somebody bring a man a ball bat and set a little child in front of him and say, knock his brains out. You say, I can't do that. Well, you can. The bat's there and the strength is there, but there's something in you. I can't do that. When his seed remains in us, it's a seal on our heart. Folks, here is the wedding ring of the Bible. That's really what this is talking about too. Love between man and God. Love between a man and a companion. Set me as a seal upon thine heart. And that's the translation of it. A signature ring, a seal, a signet. It means especially a seal. It means to make an end. If I have this seal between me and my wife, it means make an end to all other women in my life, to all other flirting, to all other stepping aside, I've got a seal on my heart. That's the most important seal that there is, isn't it? Set me there. That means an action for us to take. You do this voluntarily, deliberately, yourself. You do this. Lord, you do this with me, and I do this with you. This is a choice. Set me as a seal upon my heart. It means I allow no room in my heart for anything else but this special connection of love between me and the Lord, between me and those to whom I owe the debt of love. That means my wife and my children in my particular case. It means the brethren. How valuable is a seal of love between us and the brethren. What a valuable thing it is. I remember when I was in trouble a couple of years ago, got a call from a very dear brother who lives a long ways away. He said, Ed, if you need me, I'll drop everything. And he's a busy man. And he said, I'll drop everything I'm coming. I'm doing. I'll come. I'll be right there. I'll stay with you as long as I need to stay. I value that kind of love. I value that. It's something special. I say it's an oasis. It's hard to find all these things in the world, but we got something sacred and special here, friends. It's something the Lord gave to us. Set me as a seal upon thine heart and as a seal upon thine arm. The heart is the seat of our affections. It doesn't mean this literal one that's beating in our chest. It means our affections. Seal them up. Seal them up. Oh, may the Lord seal all of our hearts from here to the judgment. Paul said, I pray God, thy whole body and soul and spirit be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's sealed. That's what the Holy Ghost does in our lives. And seal me upon my arm. That means on my actions. Our arms are what we use to carry out our daily behaviors. We not only have it on our hearts, we have it in the things that we do. Set me as a seal on my arms. I want my family to marry people whose arms are sealed to each other. Don't reach out for strangers. True to each other. I want to live my life among people who are true to me too. I'm thinking of Brother Carver. He got old. He was a song leader. He was a good song leader. He could hold the people together and he could pitch the songs about right, and he always had pretty good rhythm and he moved the songs along, but he got old. His voice got cracked, and he couldn't do it as well anymore. But I loved him. So I never got tired of hearing him lead the singing. Now I know that there came a time when other people could do it better. But I never got tired of it myself because I loved him. It's special. We're not going to be here forever. And I wanted to hear it as much as I could. There's a seal. Look what he said. Love is strong as death. I've learned in my years in life that death is very cruel. It's one of the hardest things that there is to face in this life. I've seen the tears. I remember very well one of the first funerals I ever was called on to conduct. I was standing beside a casket as people were filing out of the building. The last came down to the family. A grown daughter, she had lived a distance away. And I thought, looking at her, she'll be able to deal with this. But she came up to the casket and fell on her father's face again, bathed his face in her tears and cried, Daddy, Daddy, I'll never get to see you again. That's hard. It's hard. And I looked at that and thought, this is the hardest thing that I could ever see. But I'm wrong. Love is strong as death. The scripture said, I don't want you to sorrow as others that have no hope. Because there's another world, folks, and it's bigger than this. This is only a little while. We have our times of sorrow. We have our times of disappointment. James and John were brothers. The Lord took, Herod took John and put him to death. Or James, I mean, put him to death. And John lived another 50 years. And no doubt grieved for his brother every day. But it's over. And they're both together around the throne, and they've been there for 2,000 years. And I don't think they regret it so much today. Folks, we have sorrows in this life, but love is strong as death. Death is very strong. Death is very painful. It's hard. I remember when my mother was gone. It was the first major death in our family, and I remember the first time it rained, and I thought it's raining on Mother's grave. And I thought we have never allowed her to stay out in the rain unprotected before. But there's nothing I could do. I would go back and cover the ground if I thought it would help. But there's nothing you can do. It's strong. It's terrible. But love is strong as death. Thank God we've got something as strong as the hardest hardship we will ever face in this world. Love is strong as death. Jealousy is cruel to the grave. Won't say a lot about that. It's not my topic this morning. It says the coals thereof are coals of fire, which hath a most vehement flame. We'll say a little. This is speaking of the jealousy that the Lord has for His people. And the reason I know that is because of this word, vehement. Vehement is translated from Shahilbeth Yah, which means the flame or the fire of the Lord Jehovah. The Lord is jealous over you and me, folks. And what He means by that is He watches over us. He notices what we are thinking about. Jealousy can be, it can separate people, but the jealousy of the Lord, it really maybe a better word would be zeal almost of the Lord. It means He takes a special notice of everything that touches us. Our feelings, He watches us when we sleep. When I fall asleep, dreams chase one another through my head. And I have very little control over them. I awaken in the morning and perhaps have no memory of them. But the Lord puts dreams in our minds when He wants to. Scripture said He seals the thoughts in the head. And we awaken in the morning and it's there and we can't get it out. He knows. He is jealous of everything that happens to us. My mother and my father loved me very dearly. They gave their lives essentially to raise my brother and sisters and me. But I never once had my mother sit down and count all the hairs on my head. But the Lord has done that. My mother paddled me sometimes when I needed it and I cried. But the Lord put my tears in His bottle. My mother never did that. My father never did that. But the Lord does that. He's jealous of it. It means a jealousy of God. It means a most vehement. That's hot. That's fiery. That is stronger than death. It is stronger than all the powers that are in this world that would try to take us out of the Lord's hands. He said He'd hold us in His hands. And He said no power could take us from that sacred place. Thank God for His great love. The coals of jealousy hath a most vehement flame. Will you listen to this? Many waters cannot quench love, neither can the floods drown it. Many waters. Waters, in this case, means affliction. It means trouble. Lord, help us with these things. I look on the faces of our young people and feel such terrific passion in my spirit. I'm not by nature a kind man, by nature a caring man. But there's something in me since I got saved and as the Lord has worked with me that's not me. It's deeper. I think of the scripture that says the wisdom that is from above is pure and peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated. And the Lord has, I have this testimony. I don't want to sound boastful at all because it's not, I'm not this way. But the Lord has changed me from what I would have been, and I have such strong love for our young people and pray and weep over them, and I want to see them have God unfold their lives before them, because I know, having lived it myself and watched my generation, that life is going to hold many things for them that they don't know, can't anticipate. I'd like to say to all of us, many waters cannot quench love. Whatever life brings you, whatever heartache there may be, whatever disappointment, should you ever be in a place that it seems there's no way out, love is greater than that. Many waters, all the adversity, cannot quench love. In the war between fire and water, water always wins. I think of some of the great volcanic explosions that have happened in the history of the world. The Hawaiian Islands or Krakatoa, when it erupted and practically covered half the face of the earth with volcanic ash, blowing into the ocean. But in the end, the volcano died down and the ocean's still there. The water put it out. But the love of God is stronger than the water. It's stronger than all the adversity that there is. Folks, we love our young people. We do everything we can to smooth the rough edges of life, to protect and shield them. All we can do will not be enough. And so we point them to one greater than we are, that is able to go with them through it all and sustain them and use the adversity and the hardship and the disappointment to make them better than they would have been. Experience broadens, it deepens, it will make you valuable as a person. Don't let the waters sweep over you. Many waters cannot quench love, no matter what your trouble is. Look to the Lord. He has a jealousy over you and me with the most vehement flame. He's counted the hairs of our heads. He knows our thoughts when they are far off. He winnows our pathway. He willingly goes before us. He's got a plan for us. Don't be afraid of the water. Don't be afraid of the thunder or the storm. The Lord has His hand over you and me. He's assigned His angels to walk with us, everyone. Protect us and keep us through life. I remember Scripture speaks about the angel, Michael the archangel, disputed with the devil over the body of Moses. And that's talking about when you come down to the end of life, and the old devil is there to try to take something. We got an angel with us too. He's riding on your shoulder right now, watching over you and me. That's his reason. I think of it this way. Every one of us who've had very much experience with life can look back and see some times when, if it hadn't been for the mercy of the Lord, we'd been eternity. Many times that we know of, the Lord has stood between us and death. And I think it'll take the judgment for us to find out times that we didn't even know that it happened. The Lord had mercy on us. Do we have health in our bodies at all? It is because of the mercy of the Lord. I think there are probably some cancer cells in every one of us. And they could come active at any time. It is the Lord who protects us and keeps us. Many waters cannot quench love, neither can the floods drown it. If the waters come against us until it seems like a flood, seems like now everyone expects rain. Everyone expects the creeks to run. Flood is when the creeks come clear out of their banks. I've driven the highway from Neosho out north toward Granby as far as I could and seen Shoal Creek over the highway. And the fields flooded on both sides of it. And I think about if folks had built their houses down in that water, they'd be in trouble. My neighbor down a little ways down from where I live, I watched the water wash the fences down where his cattle were and even move the blacktop in the road there in front of us where it was sweeping over so strong. After a while, the floods go down and try to do something with it. There are places in life that feel just like that, folks, when it's just nearly sweeping you away and more than you can take. Many waters, the floods, are not stronger than the love of God. He'll go with us through those places if we let him. Old Solomon got a hold of something, didn't he? Many waters cannot quench love, neither can the floods drown it. If a man would give all the substance of his house for love, he would utterly be contemned. How do you get love? You can't buy it. You can't buy love. To people who found love and somebody offers them money for it, it seems kind of disgusting. You're just a fool to do something like that. Think you can buy love? We can't buy the Lord's love for us. Have you ever wondered why the Lord loves you? Well, I have. I didn't find him because I was looking for him. He came looking for me. I was headed down a course that would not have led me to heaven, but the Lord in his mercy. And I've asked myself why, and I don't know the answer. He just did. And what am I going to offer the Lord to buy His love? What shelf do you go to in Walmart that's got a big stack marked love? You buy a package of it. How much would it cost? Oh, if you gave everything you had, you couldn't buy love. It's a gift. It's a gift. But I have a choice. Thank the Lord. I have the right to turn and offer my love back to the Lord again. God is love. And when He touches your heart and mine with His love, it reflects. You could say that God is the sun and we are the moon. I need love. I need to feel love, but I need to have a large measure of it in my own life. Because there are people who are important to me who behave in unlovely ways. The only hope for their souls is that somewhere between here and the judgment, they turn back again. I've often thought about the father of the prodigal son. What if he'd have looked at him and said, this boy has done wrong. I've known folks who do this sort of thing. This boy has done wrong. He's dishonored our name and our family. He's not part of us anymore. I've known folks say, I don't ever want that child's name mentioned in my home again. Turn your back on him. I mean, you'd almost say the father was justified to do that because the boy had taken everything he could. He disrespected everything his dad gave him. Why didn't his father turn on him? Well, he was a commendable father, but I have to think it was the love of God first. Actually, that's what the story is about, isn't it? It's the Lord loving us when we didn't deserve it. If He loved me when I didn't deserve it, how much more ought I, who have been sinful, love others who don't deserve it? It's the only hope they got. It's the only hope they got. I love my family, and I do not have the notion that I can help them go to heaven by shutting them out of my life or turning my back on them. They need for me to love them and be kind to them. In some things, people we love do wickedly. And they do things that we don't like to be around. But in other places, they reap the consequence of that and they cry out and they stand in need. Oh, Lord, help us to have an answer to the need. Sweet, gentle, peaceful love of God. The love of God. Many waters cannot quench love, neither can the floods drown it. If a man would give all the substance of his house for love, it would be despicable. It wouldn't be beautiful. Love has to be given, and it has to be won. The Lord won my heart with His love. I want Him as a seal on my arm and on my heart. Don't we sing about that sometimes? Take my lips and let them be. Well, the song doesn't say this, but we could put it in there. Take my arms too, Lord. Let's use these the way You want them to be used. Carefully, gracefully, wisely, and humbly. Helping others. You've been so gracious to help me. Can't buy it. But He won it. I give it back to Him. And walk with Him. Thank You for the courtesy of Your attention this morning. God bless us to walk in love. Toward Him and toward one another. The sweetness and gentleness of His Spirit. Think about what we wish for each other. Really? I want you to be happy. I want your prayers to be answered. I want you to be healthy. Isn't that what you want from me? Can't we come together and tell that to the Lord and to one another? And encourage one another and do so? Won't He be with us if we do? Thank You for the courtesy of Your attention. Amen.